We interrupt this bulletin to go live now to Stormont and the latest on the talks.
Today, the Taoiseach and I came here because we both want to see real progress in Northern Ireland. We work together very hard with the parties on a deal that we think represents really good progress. It would involve comprehensive addressing of the issues of the past. It would involve devolution of parading. It would involve Northern Ireland having the devolution of corporation tax. And in addition to that, I was prepared to put on the table real spending power, new spending power, for the Northern Ireland Executive to sort out some of the issues that it faces. Spending power of if everything was agreed, potentially as much as £1 billion. But a deal hasn't been possible. What I hope will happen now is the politicians here in Northern Ireland will work together to agree these vital issues about parades, about flags, about the past, about their budget. If they come to an agreement, then that sort of financial firepower can be brought to bear. But of course, if there isn't an agreement, then that financial firepower isn't there. But I think things are better today than they were yesterday, and I want to thank the Taoiseach for all his hard work in helping to bring people together and discuss these vital issues. Taoiseach.
Thanks, Prime Minister. Obviously, there have been 9 weeks of discussion over the past period about the difficulties that the Executive and the Assembly was having here in regard to the politics of Northern Ireland and the moving forward of the entire process. We came here as co-guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement and all that's followed that. And I have to say that the document that was tabled last evening is comprehensive and does address all of the issues that have been involved here for the last period, both in respect of identity and tradition and culture, questions of the past, questions of new ways of dealing with that, and also from the British government's point of view, access to spending power that would not have been normally available for the period ahead. Now, it means that having discussed these individually with the parties and with the five parties collectively, politically, there is not agreement on the issues that were tabled last evening. That doesn't mean that the politicians who are elected and who have responsibility devolved to them cannot conclude on a number of these matters. So from the government's point of view in Dublin, we will continue to be available along with the British government to assist, to encourage, to cooperate and to help in any way possible here. Genuinely, I do believe that the political process here, practicing politicians, will be able to conclude the outstanding areas of disagreement on the matters that we have discussed. And I'm quite sure that from my point of view, and I assume from the Prime Minister's point of view, we will be available to come back whenever a deal is concluded by the political process here and move the opportunity for the people of Northern Ireland to have a better space in the future. So it's not possible to conclude it today, but good work has been done. I thank all of those involved, and I look forward to being able to continue to assist in the time ahead. And from our point of view, we will continue to cooperate with the Assembly and the Executive in matters of infrastructure and other areas where we are currently cooperating and have been for quite a number of years.
Thank you very much, Taoiseach. Any questions?
Prime Minister, do you think a deal is still possible before Christmas? And if so, could you come back before Christmas?
I think a deal is possible because I think the parties have done a lot of good work on the issues that need to be settled. The issue of how to manage parades, how to handle the past, the issues of flying flags. The real work that still needs to be done, I think, is to make sure that the budget of the Northern Ireland Executive is sustainable and works, and so intensive work needs to be done between the parties on that issue. And we stand ready to help, but obviously what needs to happen is agreement, substantive agreement on these issues, and then obviously we can try and help. The Secretary of State has done excellent work, Teresa Villa's bringing everyone together. 85 hours of talks before last night and a good 10 hours last night, so some progress has been made, but we need agreement on those issues. We can't have an agreement that is simply some words about these issues and then helped with taxpayers' money from the rest of the UK. What we need is a comprehensive agreement on these issues, and then of course the British government obviously stands by to help with this process. That's the way it has to work.
Is that your final offer, or could you increase it?
Well, as I said, I was putting on the table, potentially, if a number of things could be agreed, what amounted to almost £1 billion of financial spending power for the executive over the coming years. Spending power they want in order to adjust the situation in Northern Ireland, where the state and the public sector is so big and the private sector needs to grow. And that's, as I said yesterday, I want politics that works, I want an economy that grows, I want politicians here to work together to solve these issues. They've made progress, we need some more progress, and then, of course, we will take a constructive attitude as we have throughout these discussions.
From our own point of view, obviously issues like recognition of the Irish language is in the document, questions of the protection of smaller parties and changes in the Assembly for a period ahead is in there. And also, I think, genuinely, a real attempt here to deal with issues of the past in terms of the historic investigative unit, which is a major shift in what was there before. And I think that's an issue for politicians to sit down and understand that here is an opportunity in many ways to lance an emotional reservoir that has been there for up to 40 years. And I think the opportunity to deal with that is very clear and very very realistic up ahead for the political process. So we stand by to, you know, to continue to assist that.
Well, of course I do. I mean, this is a serious offer of additional spending power over a 5 to 6 year period. And I responded to each one of the requests made of me to have some financial help to pay for these institutions that will examine the past, to make sure there's investment, continued investment into Northern Ireland's economy, something I'm passionate about, and also the most important thing that the politicians here want, which is help with the transition that needs to take place as they try and grow the private sector and try to make sure they have a public sector that taxpayers can afford. So serious assistance with all of those issues. But as I say, you know, that sort of financial help is on the table if the politicians here locally can agree the issues of flags and parades in the past and set their own budget in a way that is sustainable. If they can do those things, you know, I stand ready, the UK taxpayer stands ready to help. But it has to be help on the basis that these issues are settled. It wouldn't be right, and it wouldn't last, it wouldn't work if I was to come here and offer financial assistance when there isn't a deal that actually properly addresses these issues, which I think for too long have been left unaddressed. So that's what needs to happen. I commend the politicians here in Northern Ireland for work they have done. I want them to now continue to do that work, to come to an agreement, and I'm sure we can settle all these issues. And I want to thank the Taoiseach for his assistance in coming here and spending yesterday and tonight here in trying to help bring people together. That's what it's all about. And I'm confident in the period ahead, I'm sure more progress can be made, and we stand ready to help, as of course we always do. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So that's the Prime Minister and the Taoiseach within the last few seconds saying, listen to what David Cameron, the Prime Minister, said there. He said that he was offering potentially a deal that was worth as much as £1 billion of spending power. Now, within all of that language, and we'll have a BBC correspondent on very, very soon indeed to give us their take on that. But don't forget, spending power isn't real cash up front and doesn't have to ever be paid back. Spending power could be loans. We do not know what it is at the moment. Let's get reaction straight away from the Shadow Secretary of State, Ivan Lewis. Morning to you, Ivan.
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
I can tell you, Ivan, that Gerry Adams has just tweeted that two governments have exited, quote, after the most amateurish, ham-fisted episode I have ever been involved in. That's from Gerry Adams this morning, and that gives you a sense, presumably, of how far Sinn Féin feel progress has been made.
Well, I think everybody in Northern Ireland will be bitterly disappointed, but it isn't the end game, is it? We know that these talks, the history of these talks as they go to the wire, we still have that window of opportunity before Christmas. I think it's right to say that the Prime Minister flew in, he spent 24 hours in Northern Ireland, and he flies out and there's no agreement. That means the process clearly didn't go as well as many had expected it to. And what was on offer, what was on the table, was clearly not good enough to to secure a deal. But the Northern Ireland parties still have until Christmas to work with the two governments to come up with agreement on these outstanding issues. And the people of Northern Ireland, I keep saying this, the way they want their politicians to deliver, they are fed up of this stalemate.
But it's clear, Ivan, that this is coming down to money. It's clear that the budget...
But what isn't clear, Stephen, is what was actually on offer. Is it more borrowing power? Is it a recognition that Northern Ireland has extra costs in terms of the past? Yeah. It's all very vague and unclear.
Well, that's why I zoomed in on spending power. You can hear his language, Ivan. Sure. Spending power.
Sounds like more, but it sounds like loans to me on the whole. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? And I think that, you know, in a way...
And would that be Labour's position? Would you have offered something similar?
I'll be clear with you. There can be no blank cheques from any UK government to Northern Ireland at these challenging times. Where I think there is a very strong case that Northern Ireland has is all of the infrastructure that's required in terms of dealing with the past, all of those institutions that need to be created mean that there are additional costs that Northern Ireland faces that nowhere else in the United Kingdom has to deal with. Now, it's in that context that surely there is room for compromise, there is room for pragmatism, and a sensible agreement between the Westminster government and the Northern Ireland executive. That is where the focus should be. The idea that a UK Prime Minister should fly in any UK Prime Minister with a blank cheque and be held to ransom, that cannot be acceptable. However, there has to be a recognition from the Westminster government that all of the institutions associated with the past come with a significant price tag, and that has to be addressed.
I can tell you now that a senior source has just told the Nolan Show, and this is a senior source from within the DUP, has just told the Nolan Show, and let me just get this exactly right here this morning. Just one second, because it's very, very important that we get this right today. Senior source has just told the Nolan Show that the government is not putting new cash on the table, and that is unacceptable.
But it sounds to me as though we're talking about loans. When the Prime Minister talked about spending powers, let's say those words were not very clear, were very ambiguous. It seems to me that what he's talking about loans. Now, of course, the problem with loans is loans are repayable. The loan that's already been made by the Treasury in the last few weeks has to be paid within the next financial year. So that doesn't deal with the underlying problems. However, it isn't fair or appropriate to expect the UK government to come up with a blank cheque. There should be pragmatism. There is a middle way to be found. And I would urge all the parties and the government to look at these issues surrounding the past. That is where there is a justifiable case for Northern Ireland to argue for additional resources and special circumstances. In terms of other factors, Northern Ireland already has a block grant which takes account of the fact that Northern Ireland has special challenges and many, many difficulties. So the challenge is to bridge that gap somehow. Now, I think when people listen to this today, they've seen the HAF process, they've seen the all-party talks facilitated by the Secretary of State in recent weeks, they've seen the Prime Minister fly in and fly out. Their conclusion will be a complete failure of politics in Northern Ireland. And responsibility for that has to be with all of those parties involved. I've said all along, the disengagement of the UK government over the last few years has left a vacuum. And I believe we're still paying a price for that. So, for example, the relationships that should have been strong going into talks like this are simply not there. Yeah. We know the history of negotiations. Some of it is about trust and it's about personal chemistry. I'm afraid those relationships have not been built in the last 3 years. The Prime Minister hasn't given enough time to Northern Ireland.
It doesn't sound, Ivan, like Labour would be giving Northern Ireland much more.
I've made it very clear. Every time you've had me on this programme, you've tried to lull me into suggesting that somehow a Labour government would sort out all Northern Ireland's budget problems, would say that Northern Ireland doesn't have to do any welfare reform whatsoever, and all would be well. I would be completely misleading your listeners. I am not prepared to do that. But I do believe there is a halfway house to be found. There is a compromise to be found. There are some costs that Northern Ireland has that mean there are special circumstances. That's where the laser-like focus should be. And there is still this window of opportunity between now and Christmas. And my message would be, if the institutions, the political institutions, collapse in Northern Ireland, that will be a disaster. That has got to be averted at all costs.
Do you think we're close to that?
I think we're getting closer, but we still have a significant way to go before that
okay.
will happen.
All right.
We've got, but there has to be, before Christmas, there has to be a reality check for all concerned, and there has to be an attempt to reach an agreement. My view is we should focus on the budget on the one hand and the past on the other.
Okay.
I think those are the two issues where we could reach considerable agreement.
Ivan Lewis, thank you very much indeed. So that's the shadow Saudi state. We're currently chasing reaction from all the political parties this morning. One of the talks delegates for the SDLP, Alban McGuinness, is with us now.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Your reaction to what the Prime Minister has just said, Alban?
Well, I agree with him on what he said in relation to a comprehensive agreement. You have to have a comprehensive agreement for... you get down to detailing the amount of money that the British government will give to Northern Ireland in addition to the money it presently is giving. Because unless you've got the politics in place, then this whole thing is going to unravel again. And we'll be back next Christmas discussing the same issues. So we've got to deal with this now, and we've got to put an end to all the uncertainty about all the different issues, the past, parading, everything, before you can actually achieve a point where you can go to the British government and say, look, we've got this, got all these very difficult issues settled or in the process of settling, therefore you can now consider our financial position. And because the financial position, Stephen, is dire. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Alban, a very senior DUP source has just told this programme the government is not putting new cash on the table and that is unacceptable. Is that your understanding? Do you concur with the DUP in that?
Yes, I believe that to be the position. I haven't studied the you know, the
so it's all loans. This £1 billion of spending power, it was all loans, was it, that was on offer?
Well, I'm not going to go into the detail of that. I think that would be unwise. But all I would say to you is this, that any money that comes from the British government must be additional. They can't just say to Northern Ireland, well, you can borrow this, you can borrow that, or we'll do some sort of magic with the figures and pretend that you're getting extra money when in actual fact you're not getting additional cash. You do need additional cash to deal with the budget deficit and to deal with the new institution.
But you have said, and I don't expect you to go into the fine detail, Alban, but you have said that
I would concur.
You agree with the sources analysis that there was no new cash on the table.
Yes, I think that's a fair summary.
So therefore, it was all loans. And if that's the British government's position that they're going to hold to, then would that be acceptable to your party?
No, it certainly would not. I mean, you know, Stephen, we haven't signed up to the draft budget. In fact, our minister voted against it. We said to people, this is unacceptable. Look, Stephen, if we can't even keep our streetlights in proper repair, if we can't provide buses for people in towns and villages throughout Northern Ireland as a result of this budget, what are people going to say to us? I mean, we'll just become a joke as an assembly.
What does it say about a British Prime Minister that comes to Northern Ireland and does not offer any new cash on the table to this country, Alban?
Well, I think he's mistaken if that's his bottom line. If that's all he's going to offer us by way of incentive in terms of finances, I think he's making a terrible mistake. We need additional money. There's absolutely no doubt about that. The extent of that money, that is something to be determined. But you do need additional money. But it may well be that the British government is saying, look, we will come back and we'll review the position and we will produce additional cash. We will actually produce additional money for Northern Ireland because of your difficult situation.
Why is it not acceptable to you, as one of the talks delegates, that the loans that David Cameron is offering so far, why is that not sufficient?
Because it's not cash. You know, we can all go and borrow money, but at some stage you have to repay that money. And I don't think that Northern Ireland has the capacity to carry that particular burden. And I don't think I'm alone in that. We have to have sufficient monies to finance our public services. Yes, we've got to move from a public sector-based economy to a private sector economy. There's no doubt about that. But you just don't do it immediately and abruptly and savagely, because what we're going to do is tear apart our public services. 1,000 teachers are...
Let me interrupt one second, Alban, and maybe you can stay there. The BBC's Ireland correspondent, Chris Buckler, can join us now. What's your analysis, Chris, of what the Prime Minister has said and the Taoiseach has said this morning?
Yeah, listen, I don't think that the Prime Minister would have flown in unless they thought there was a chance of a deal. And frankly, they would not have flown.
Okay, we've lost Chris there. Obviously, the line he's on isn't good. We'll get him back as soon as we can. Brian Rowan, the security journalist, with us this morning. Morning to you, Brian.
Hi, Stephen. Good morning.
Your analysis of what's happening here this morning.
Well, I said to you last night, Stephen, this couldn't be a one-issue deal around finance. And I spoke to someone earlier this morning. He said that in terms of the financial package that was on the table, that while at first look it may have appeared attractive, when you studied the detail of it, it could actually have put us in a position where we were worse off than we were when we began this negotiation. I also think that... And this is from what I'm hearing overnight and into this morning, that the detail on many of those other issues, Stephen, that we've been talking about in recent days, flags, parades in the past, has not been nailed down. No movement on flags, parading, marching on the spot, and much of the detail around the past still to be settled. So I think I said to you yesterday, none of this was going to be sorted out in 24 hours. I thought yesterday was the beginning of the negotiation rather than the end of it. And it has ended, it has paused rather abruptly here this morning, Stephen.
And David Cameron, the Prime Minister, coming out at 9 o'clock this morning, not staying for the rest of the day. Can we read anything into that, Brian?
Well, again, I spoke to someone earlier this morning. He said to me that he wouldn't have been surprised if the Prime Minister went early. Now, I think that's an indication that they're a long way from getting business done in this negotiation, Stephen. I think, you know, they came in, they brought political weight in with them. I think some believed that political weight may have created some momentum within these talks, may have got some progress over the line. I don't think it was ever realistic that they were going to get all of these issues over the line, Stephen. So I think the fact that he's gone, he's now put the ball back in the Executive Party's court. Let's see what they have to say when they come out in front of the cameras here over the next number of hours.
Although,
but,
listen to this.
Stage, it's not looking great.
Listen to this language, Brian, from Gerry Adams. Two governments exiting after the most amateurish, ham-fisted episode I have ever been involved in.
I said to you last night, Stephen, too, on Radio 5, I think it was the last point we touched on. David Cameron has not been part of the Northern Ireland negotiations in the way that that Tony Blair was previously. So I don't know what he thought he was coming in for, you know, to come in and to think and to suggest that you may have been able to get that agenda over the line in a short space of time, 24, 48 hours. I just don't think that was realistic. So I said to you last night, there was a big pitch from the Stormont Executive Parties on the finance question. Martin McGuinness spoke to it, Peter Robinson, Simon Hamilton. Some figures were, and another paper was produced, I think, overnight into this morning. But what I was being told, Stephen, when I was travelling up here to Stormont this morning, was that there was still a huge gap between what was being asked for and what was on offer. And just to go back to that point that I made to you, first of all...
Yeah, but a huge gap between... who, and that's what's important here, isn't it? A huge gap between the British government and the DUP, a huge gap between the British government and Sinn Féin's position, and how close are Sinn Féin to the DUP's position, for example?
Well, we need to hear from them, Stephen, but what I was also told this morning was that even if we got the budget sorted out, where were we on welfare reform? I put that tweet up this morning, someone saying to me that when Sinn Féin were asked about welfare reform last night, they stared out into thin air. So I just think this agenda And I can remember back to this time last year, the Haas process, when they were trying to get three issues over the line, they couldn't do it. And then you think of the number of issues, Stephen, that they were trying to get over the line in this negotiation. So it's not looking good, as I say, at this stage. The fact that David Cameron's gone, the fact that he is putting on the table his financial package on the condition that other issues are settled. And, you know, parades, as I understand it, going nowhere, no detail in the document in terms of code of conduct and criteria and all of that stuff, saying it would be left to legislation. Some people might argue that, you know, if you trim the detail in, a document, it leaves less to argue about. You know, in this place, Stephen, it leaves more to argue about. So it seems to me at this stage there's a huge amount of work still to be done, and we're not much further forward than we were yesterday.
And are we any further away from Stormont collapsing than we were yesterday?
Well, I think everyone around the top of the executive has been saying in recent weeks, Stephen, that if we don't get the budget sorted, then the institutions are in jeopardy. Let's hear, I think, and we need to hear what Martin McGuinness and Peter Robinson and others have to say when they come out to speak to us here, you know, later this morning. But you know, I don't want to be dramatic, but we all know that if you can't sort a financial package out, then the foundations of this place become all the more shaky.
Let me just remind you what John O'Dowd, the Sinn Féin minister John O'Dowd, told Good Morning Ulster this morning. Now, this was before David Cameron came out and said what he said this morning.
David Cameron has a choice ahead of him over the next few years. He can continue to play his role as a penny-pinching accountant, or he can step up to the mark and become a political peacemaker and builder. That's the choice he has over the next couple of hours.
Yeah, we heard the, in some of the reports this morning that one member of one of the delegations described the offer as derisory. Would that have been your description of it?
That's about as polite as you could be about it. I seriously do not believe that David Cameron and his team have grasped the reality of the situation they're dealing with here. He has come over with an attitude which is, as I've described, as penny pinching accountancy. He has not stepped into the mark as a political leader, as someone who has a moral and political responsibility to assist and be part of a peace-building and political process here in this part of Ireland.
So that was John O'Dowd before the British Prime Minister David Cameron said what he said, and Enda Kenny. We'll summarise this for you in just a second or two.